The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 8th chapter. Then Jesus and the disciples arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion, for many demons have entered him." They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherds saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the peoples of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The Gospel of the Lord. I am an observer of people. I like to watch people. When I used to vacation in Wildwood or Ocean City, New Jersey, I enjoyed sitting on the boardwalk bench and watching the people walk by. It was better than shopping. I doubt that I was very good at guessing things about the people by their appearance as they walked by. I think the manner in which they interested me had something to do with having majored in psychology, something like that. It's always difficult to form conclusions, but, you know, with limited knowledge, I like to take a guess every now and then. If you've ever walked down a street in a large city and watched the people as they go by, you might have found yourself labeling them as they passed. There goes a young mother and father dressed all preppy. One might wonder if they drive a Volvo. My apologies to you Volvo drivers. You notice a spot of red bit of paint between a young lady's eyebrows and the flowing gown she's wearing, and you think to yourself, well, perhaps she's from India. That could be a possibility. We almost, as a matter of course, put people into categories then. It is sometimes for our own amusement and sometimes for our own safety that we do such things. After all, we need to be careful out there, and sometimes fear gets associated with these categories. Sometimes someone has taught us along the way to be careful, and our humanity gives way to prejudice, and a lack of quality becomes something for us to be concerned about. We notice races and cultures and genders and political orientations that lead us to, well, a very difficult path. Ellen Nelson is a consultant to business operations throughout the world. Ellen Nelson is also a deeply committed Christian. He oft-times walks a fine line through life as he seeks to live out his Christian faith in the midst of a variety of cultures that often are clashing with one another. One such clash for Mr. Nelson took place in 1978 in a visit to Soweto in South Africa. In a profound and exciting way, he experienced in this land afar the collision of cultures, of races, the collapsing of a country, so to speak, the innate suspicion and hostility that existed in the land. Mr. Nelson was in South Africa on a business trip to give advice to American companies as to how they might best respond to pressures to do something positive in the midst of this world of apartheid. As a church-going man, he determined to go to church somewhere in the city of Soweto on Sunday morning. Quite intentionally, he sought a place where black South Africans would be worshiping as a congregation. He wasn't all sure how he would be welcomed in such a congregation, but he knew the scriptures fairly well. He knew that in Jesus Christ, the barriers that separated people should be broken down. He hoped he would be accepted. Alan was told that there was such a congregation just 5 blocks from his hotel. As he and a friend, whom he invited to go with him, walked those 5 blocks to church, he was reminded at each step of the racial barriers that separated the races in South Africa in those days. Whites only and blacks only signs were everywhere. There was no mingling of the races anywhere. It became more clear to him than ever that white and black in South Africa were divided by huge walls of practiced hatred. Maybe he shouldn't go to a black church after all, he thought. Alan began to second guess now his decision, but then the church loomed just ahead. He consciously submerged his fears of apartheid and nourished his hopes for a new kind of world where all the baptized are one indeed in Christ. Alan and his friend arrived early. They simply entered the empty church, found a seat, and waited, and slowly the members of the all-black congregation began to file in. No one sat anywhere near them. Not close at all. In fact, when worship space was filling up, well, there was this large empty circle all around where they were seated. 2 white faces surrounded by a sea of black faces, so isolated, like an island in the middle of the ocean. A lump came to Alan's throat. His fears now drowned out his hopes. Perhaps it was too much to expect the circle of hatred to collapse just because 2 white guys show up in a black church. An old woman from the black church came forward and touched them at that moment. "Jesus," she said softly. That was the bond between them. And then Mr. Nelson committed an illegal act. He embraced the black woman. People showed up again. Some other people started to gather, you see. His hopes had won out over the fears. There was indeed 1 church, 1 baptism, at least that day. Alan Nelson says that this event changed his life forever. Such experiences are sadly the exception and not the rule. The way things are supposed to be in reality, walls separate Christians in congregations. It's incongruous, but it's true. It happens even today. At the time of baptism, we hear the words, "We are raised with Jesus Christ to new life. We are united with all the baptized in the one body of Christ." Those words mean that nothing is to separate us from one another, not race, not gender, not sexual orientation, not social economic class, not political persuasion, not denominational affiliation of any particular expression of the faith, not which movies we like, not what clothing that we wear, not anything. Yet through the stream of history, the community that we call on earth the body of Christ has often failed to live up to its baptism. It started very early on, as our second reading this day indicates. The church had barely been given birth when the arguments began to surface, particularly Gentile Jewish traditions clashed. As the church moved out from Jerusalem, the non-Jews were expected by some from the Jewish Christian congregations, called the circumcision party, to adhere to Jewish rituals, to their laws, before they could be considered truly Christian. This created an early split in the church and no small amount of prejudice and hatred. In his letter to the church in Galatia, the Apostle Paul encourages all Christians everywhere to find their identity in Jesus Christ alone. For one who has been clothed with Christ, no further religious observances such as circumcision or food laws are necessary in order to be in right standing with God. Our human religious impulse tirelessly seeks new signs and ceremonies that we can use to set ourselves apart from the others, to court God's favor. Paul insists that all of that has been put to an end in Christ. Paul saw the rival missionaries as pursuing a policy of cultural imperialism. That is, as he saw it, they were trying to impose specifically Jewish identity markers on Gentiles who had already been given a decisive new identity as God's people in Christ. Paul's passionate rejection of this kind of ethnic religious identity politics should lead us to reflect carefully on the ground of our own identity. To what extent is our sense grounded in the gospel of Christ as we experience life today and live it? And to what extent does it determine how we relate to people who do not have our political thoughts? Think of this world in which we live now. Democrats, Republicans, and whatever. Dare we even talk to one another these days? And we are Christians. We take sides. It takes precedent. It seems the most important thing in our lives. But is it really, if we are truly baptized into Christ our Lord? How important indeed. Paul reminds us that we are one with Christ through baptism. How important is our unity in Christ above all that divides us on this earth? Is this a matter of life and death? No, rather it is a matter of eternal life and eternal death. For we are one in Christ and made alive, or we are alone in our own inclinations and we are dead. Whatever differences there are between Christians, and there are many, and as important as they may seem, they are but rubbish compared to the life and unity we all share as brothers and sisters in Christ. Through our baptism into the death and resurrection of Christ, the circle of emptiness around each one of us has collapsed. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you and all of them are one in Christ Jesus.